afternoon.
Well, good afternoon.
Welcome to another episode of We the People Radio as we come racing into our seats. Oh, it all works great until Ashley yells,
"Showtime!"
1 minute, and then, I don't know, it just seems like they've all
run around like our hair's on fire.
No, it's like nothing is ready. So, my name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cunniff, and our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. Pape is located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard up in Shasta Lake City, and they've got everything John Deere, Honda, Steel, you name it. Go up and talk to them. They've got it all in stock. And or even give them a call on the phone at 226-92.
Is that where you do that?
Yeah.
What about the record player?
Yeah, I think everybody.
Come on, Joe, hold it together.
Record player. Yeah, give them a call at 226-9226 or get them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Check.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, and what other sponsors? I think we have a couple other sponsors we were going to mention,
we have
too.
A lot of individual people.
We do.
Who just...
We appreciate greatly.
We totally do. And they either forward that to us via the P.O. box on the website or just jump in on the PayPal link on the site. And we really appreciate that. Every little bit helps because, of course, sometimes, okay, a lot of the time, we're talking about things that are kind of unpopular. I mean, they're popular with all of us, but they tend to be, hot topics? I don't know how you want to phrase that, but sometimes people are, you know, kind of stay away from that or want to stay clear of that because they're afraid they're going to cause problems. I think it's about time we all took a side, however, because I think the old, the DMZ where we don't cause problems, I think that's rapidly closing. We're going to have to figure out where we stand. I just wanted to add this one thing because I saw it right before we left. If you're not getting emails from moveon.org, you're not living right, because I have to tell you, they're usually fairly entertaining. I like the part where they want you to chip in for $1.25. I'm like, wow, really?
Hey, $1.25 is a big difference.
That's one of my favorites. But this, however, was a graphic. If you click the image below, you're going to get a free sticker. And it looks like a... kind of a tidal wave coming, you know, like going over the Capitol. I'll put it on the website. And it says, "Vote Joe Biden, November 3rd, 2020. Trans rights are..." This is in exactly the order that it's listed. "Trans rights are human rights, education for all, water is life, union jobs, all Black Lives Matter, love is..." Love is...
Wait a minute. All Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, and all the rest of us can go stuff it.
They put an A in it.
And then "love is love is love is," and that trails off. And then no ban, no wall, peace, not war... Peace, not war, matter wins. Okay, that's weird. And then, what kind of a sticker is this? And where are you going to be reading this with a micro? You know, you got like a magnifying glass in your car. You pull it behind
you're
somebody.
Pull behind
Hold on,
somebody jump out and run over and read
right
your bumper
sticker. I'm trying to read your darn sticker, and it's all curvy too. And then healthcare for all, refugees are well. I'm assuming that says welcome. Respect existence. And then expect resistance. But it's in tiny letters, so apparently we're not all that formidable. And then in big bold letters at the bottom, climate change.
Is this like the contents labels on a can of food? The most dominant one is listed first?
Apparently.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's what moveon.org is doing. So just in case you have friends, relatives, neighbors, other acquaintances who think the Democratic Party hasn't moved very far to the left, I think you should order them a sticker. You just go to moveon.org, get them a sticker, take it over. Mm-hmm.
Tell them what they believe in.
Let them know these are their new marching orders and see how that works out.
Yeah.
I thought that was rather odd. So you can... Now that I've said that, you can look at a copy of that sticker and find everything about the show at wethepeopleradio.us. And I guess that probably aptly explains why we don't have everyone beating the door down to be our sponsor. But you know what? It's real. I mean, I'm not making that up. I couldn't make that up. I wouldn't have thought of that. Although I do have some fairly creative dreams. I've never dreamt about that.
No.
I know. Even I haven't dreamt about that. So... we just keep looking at what's going on out there. And we thought, you know, a little perspective from our friend Dr. Harry Booyens, whose roots are in South Africa. And we've done bunches of shows with him about South Africa, the issues there, how they relate to ours. And it seems like...
How our histories are actually tied
exactly.
together.
Joined at the hip. And for some reason, we haven't talked to him since September of 2019, so it's been kind of a long time. And all of a sudden, here we are in that convergence place. He has an article that I linked, actually, on the site for you guys. If I can scroll down and find it. Here we go. He wrote the article originally on the 29th of August, 2017. And we weren't really having any of these protests or any of this stuff a couple of years ago, or 3 years ago, I guess. Imagine that. But I think you'll find that things are things have gone exactly the way he said. How's that? So without a whole lot of further ado, our friend Dr. Harry Booyans is an internationally recognized multiple award-winning PhD defense and aerospace physicist. That's why Bill and I are not talking about the subject. Originally from South Africa with a 360 degree. Why do I always think that? It's the number. Can we change it, Harry? Can it be like 361 years? Because then I would stop saying that. His family goes back 360 years in South Africa. He lives currently with his family on the forested slopes outside of Vancouver, Canada. And his life as a scientist exposed him to many of the realities of the Cold War and the period immediately following the fall of the Berlin Wall. It included interaction with the United States and the British defense establishment. So he's taken his lifetime of research and interpretive skills to history and genealogy. And I think that really helps. So he's not like a, you know, bomb thrower opinion guy. I mean, he's a fact guy who goes right straight through the history and makes sense out of that. He focuses on making Americans aware of what's happening in South Africa, the historic parallels between the two countries, and the warning that South Africa holds for Western civilization in general, and the United States in particular. And I think now more than ever, all the different things we've spoken about. And in case you wanted to go back and review a lot of his material, which is excellent and still extremely timely, if you go to wethepeopleradio.us, there's a tab up top called South Africa, and all those shows are listed there for you. So you can pretty swiftly go through and scan the topics and see which things you want to plug in on. But I think if you haven't listened to our program before, you'll find that the history of South Africa isn't what you think it is, and it isn't what we've been told. So I'll leave it at that. All right, Harry, where do you want to start today?
Well, Darren,
well, it's a deep subject, huh?
Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Sorry I sound a little bit distant. Skype has deserted us this morning.
Oh, stupid Skype.
I'm seriously deleting it completely from my system and trying to reinstall from scratch. But, you know, don't let Microsoft get in the middle of a good discussion.
Exactly. Can you, any chance you can be closer to your phone or something? You sound very far away.
I am right in at you.
Ooh. Oh, there you go.
Oh, hey, wait a minute. That actually, whatever you did, just jumped us up a little bit.
Oh, okay. Right. I'm trying.
How insanely inconvenient, but...
This weird device called a telephone, right?
From the olden days.
Okay. So, yeah, you know, at the risk of sounding weird, welcome to South Africa. You have arrived.
Uh-huh.
I trust you're enjoying the ride so far.
Oh, it's been awesome. Yeah, the burning, the looting, the statue crushing, the because all of that, I remember you telling us that a long time ago, before the statue stuff started. During the Obama administration, and you had said that one of the people that you had seen in some of the news footage was a guy that was also on news footage in South Africa prior. And now that I just said that, I guess we probably... How about this? We should take a really swift break, and then we'll start with you so I don't have to cut you off, because we're like...
Already?
Yeah, how about let's do that.
One more time.
Yeah, because we did talk about
how
they're going to try to rewrite our history.
Yeah, and you told us that a long time ago with the statue thing, and now it's back again,
yep,
but it's back in force, and here comes part two that you guys already had. So we'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Harry Booyans. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
When they move into your neighborhood, they take over, but good. But you
There. We survived the break.
Are you okay over there?
Yeah, sorry. Tipped over my water trying to get the mouse, blah, blah, blah. But I digress. All right. So where do you think... I don't know. How about I don't ask any questions? You can start wherever you want. Sorry.
Well, how about I start with what I wrote on 29 August 2017?
Perfect.
Quote, "Today they will tear down Robert E. Lee, perhaps tomorrow Thomas Jefferson, next week Abraham Lincoln, and George Washington.
Huh.
And then every statue of anyone who looks Caucasian, just as in South Africa. Welcome to America Must Fall."
Spot on.
Those were my words.
And that was
29 August 2017.
Yeah, 3 years ago.
Yep.
And really interesting in that order as well. I mean, people.
The scary thing is not that I said that, because here's the reality, and I've told you this before. First of all, I am not profoundly intelligent. I can prove to you that
that's
my wife is more intelligent than I am. Okay?
She said.
I don't have access to information other people don't have access to.
Mm.
Everybody has access to the same stuff. So what is it that makes my prediction so accurate?
The fact that you're willing to put yourself out there and actually say it out loud, because
well,
I think a lot of people don't.
Yeah, and you got to, and unfortunately you had to live it.
Yeah.
And could it perhaps be because I grew up in South Africa, mm-hmm. and I've seen all of this before? You know, this is what I've been trying to tell folks, and while you guys are immensely helpful, the general edifice that is the United States has a hell of a hard time hearing.
Yeah, they want to think that everything starts here, and it's interesting because in things like this has already been written once.
It doesn't. It let me put it to you this way. On 9/11, a handful of guys from the Middle East climbed on planes and flew them fuel-laden with a lot of innocent people into buildings in the United States. They didn't come from Boston and New York. They came from the Middle East. The story starts there. And what's happening to you now is something that started elsewhere. It's making use of stuff in your history, but it started elsewhere. And, you know, we have to go back a tad in history to get a grip on that. And I always have this problem that, Henry Ford said that history is bunk. And Henry Ford is now history.
Hmm.
So there is a difficulty in getting folks to believe that problems can be traced back to the past. And in this case, if you happen to have those pictures available that I mentioned, the very first one is of an innocent-looking child. And perhaps Ashley could put that one up for us.
I have that one actually on the We the People website.
Yeah.
It's on there. I'm loading them as we speak.
I obviously have no idea what we're seeing at the moment. So that picture comes from the 1860s. And I want to read you just a little bit that I have there. What you're looking at is the rather sickly son of the Bishop of Stortford in England. Came from the town of Stortford. There were four kids, I think. He was the fourth one, and it didn't do too well in general. But in 1871, He was sent to South Africa to join his brother Herbert because of bad health. And there he found out about diamonds that had just recently been discovered some hundreds of miles away. But in 1873, 2 years later, he's back in England to study Greek and Latin classics at the Oriel College of Oxford University. And soon after, he's right back in South Africa, where he becomes an unscrupulous businessman in the diamond field. So in 1875, unbeknownst to him, the European leaders were meeting in a smoky room in Berlin, where they carved up the map of Africa at a thing called the Conference of Berlin. And so it was decided that Britain might have a free run up the length of Africa from the Cape to Cairo, is the way they expressed it. And the French would then be to the left or the west, if you wish. And the Germans would get two blobs as well, one on the east coast and one on the west coast. And this young man was not so totally young anymore in 1877 when he wrote up his confession, as he called it. And I would like to read that to you. And you're going to have to bear with me as I slowly meander this story to Washington. 2 June 1877, Confession of Faith. Here's what he wrote. At the present day, I become a member of the Masonic Order. I see the wealth and power they possess, the influence they hold. I think over their ceremonies, and I wonder that a large body of men can devote themselves to what, at times, appear the most ridiculous and absurd rites without an object and without an end. And now I'll go to the top of the page and tell you. The name of the man is Cecil John Rhodes. He wrote these words on 2 June 1877 when he became a Freemason at Oxford in England. He wrote the first words at Oxford, and he completed this document at Kimberley in South Africa. And he added to this the following great pieces of insight on his part. And I'm going to go in a very strange place today, so bear with me. He wrote, "If we had retained America, there would have been at this moment millions more English living. I contend that we are the finest race in the world, and that the more of the world we inhabit, the better it is for the human race. Why should we not form a secret society with but one object, the furtherance of the British Empire, the bringing of the whole uncivilized world under British rule, the recovery of the United States, and making the Anglo-Saxon race but one empire? Think of those countless thousands of Englishmen during the last 100 years that would have crossed the Atlantic and settled and populated the United States. Would they not have made, without any prejudice, a finer country of it than the low class of Irish and German immigrants?" This is Harry now. I'd love to hear all the Irish cops and firemen in New York about that subject. And then I'd like to hear pretty much everybody north of Oklahoma and east of the Rockies and west of Philadelphia, because they're mostly German of descent, despite anything one might think. Anyway, so he makes his feelings quite clear. And then he says, "Africa is still lying ready for us." This is where we come in as a South African. "Africa is still lying ready for us. It is our duty to take it. It is our duty to seize every opportunity of acquiring more territory. And we should keep this one idea steadily before our eyes, that more territory simply means more of the Anglo-Saxon race, more of the best, the most human, the most honorable race the world possesses." This would be the race that I talked about in 10 other presentations with you. And he says, "To forward such a scheme, what a splendid help a secret society would be, a society not openly acknowledged, but who would work in secret for such an object." And then he proceeded with the rest of his life, where he got the help of the Rothschilds bankers and formed the De Beers Company. And if Americans don't know what De Beers is, I'm sure they know the phrase, diamonds are forever.
Yeah.
That is synonymous with De Beers. So, that from the man that connects with all of this, and you will see how in a minute, I cannot think of an individual white man more reviled by Afrikaners like myself than Rowe. And if there's one spot ever only in history where the white Afrikaners and the black Africans in Africa agree 100%, and it's on the matter of Cecil John Rhodes. The hatred is total, and it will become clear why. Because he went on, and in 1886, 9 years later, the biggest gold deposit in the history is discovered in the little Afrikaner Republic of the Transvaal. By 1889, he's in command of the world's diamond production. De Beers now controls everything. And now starts the weird stuff. That year, he gets a charter from the British government for his British South Africa company. And I will explain that charter in a minute. Around the same time, he becomes Prime Minister of the Cape Colony, I'll have you know. And then, having got this charter from the British government, he takes the country of the Matabele, north of South Africa, and he calls it Rhodesia. It is now Zimbabwe. In 1895, the British government incorporates the country of the southern Tswana people of South Africa into the colony, and they give the country of the northern Tswana people to Rhodes' company. I mean, they gave the country to a company. Can you imagine you've got the Hudson's Bay Company of Canada, and it's basically eyeing Minnesota?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So...
they all need goals.
Let him do that, and the same year in December, he gets a guy called Landestar Jemison, gives him a bunch of guns, gives him Gatling guns and all that stuff, and with this crowd, they invade the Afrikaner Republic of the Transvaal to try and get a grip on the gold. The plot fails, all fingers point at him, and Rhodes resigns. He had to as Prime Minister. But that's not the end of his business. He still gets all the money from the Rothschilds bankers, and the secret society he started is still plotting along happily. It is from that failed raid that the Great Boer War of 1899 happened, and that got us the concentration camps in South Africa. So I was wondering if we could look at the second picture.
Yes, and how about this?
Like.
Well, we let's take a really quick another really quick break. I guess Ashley will play whatever she wants because Skype appears to be I don't know there. It's doing Crazy Town for us too, Harry. We've all got Skype on Crazy Town. We've got to take a really quick break, but for people listening to this who are online at the time. All the pictures are at the bottom of the page for July 5th, 2020. I always forget to mention that's the day we're airing this live. So for July 5th, 2020 at wethepeopleradio.us, if you scroll down, you'll see these pictures numbered, 1, 2, 3, 4. They're all in order. And those are the pictures he'll be referring to during the program. And if you're just listening on the regular radio, you want to go look later, go right ahead. It's all on there for you. And I guess I should mention, because I didn't at the beginning, the... archives are always on there commercial free and no cost to you to listen. So if you'd like to send the show to a friend or listen to it later, it's on there for you. We'll be right back.
It's all down. choosing your battles. Pick yourself up and dust yourself off and back in the saddle. You're on the front line, everyone's watching. You know it's serious, we're getting closer, this isn't over. The pressure's off, you feel it, but you got it all, believe it. When you fold, get up, oh, oh, and if you fold, get up, eh, eh. Tamina, mina, sangalewa, cause this is yeah, Africa. Tamina, mina, eh, eh, waka, waka, eh, eh. Tamina, mina, sangalewa, this time for Africa.
Although I hate soccer, it's a snazzy song for a soccer thing. Very controversial since she wasn't from Africa either, but I digress. All the pictures are loaded. You'll be happy to know. They're all in there. And so as you tell us who the people are, how about this? I will caption them beyond picture one, picture two, picture three. So okay. Picture one is John Rhodes.
That's the young Cecil John Rhodes.
Okay.
In England.
Okay.
Picture two is the grown Cecil John Rhodes as Prime Minister of the Cape Colony. And picture three is Elizabeth Van Zyl. That's V-A-N-Z-Y-L, Van Zyl. Dying in a British concentration camp, courtesy Cecil John Rhodes and the Rothschild bankers.
Oh.
That was their war. They decided that if the father was still fighting against the British army, then the children in the concentration camp will be put on half rations.
Wow.
That's what happened. That's what it looks like. Perhaps you understand why I hate this guy so much.
Yeah, there was a lot to hate.
Okay. So, shall I carry on?
Oh, yes, please. Sorry.
Right.
We're just gazing at the scary
picture.
So, now
I have to just get to the next step, and that should be probably your picture number four, which should be his statue at the University of Cape Town.
Now, is that the same statue they're defacing?
He's sitting there in the thinker pose.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
That's how you will know it.
Hmm. Okay.
Right. So, when he died, he's in his will, he created the Rhodes Scholarship. And that gave us Bill Clinton and Rachel Maddow.
Yeah, when I think Rhodes Scholarship, I always think Bill Clinton, which is such a bad association, but yes.
Am I getting it closer to home fast enough now?
Yes, yep. We have Clinton, yep. And the Mad Cow are both Rhodes Scholars, huh?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
Yes. The Mad Cow is...
I didn't know the Mad Cow was a Rhodes Scholar.
Okay. So now, that is the long-distance history. Now I have to bring it to the year 2014. Still in South Africa, and I'm about to describe to you the thing that's being exported to you. Okay? So, in 2014, a young Zulu man by the name of Ntokozo Kwabe arrived at Oxford University from Cape Town University on a Rhodes Scholarship. He finished a B degree in civil law at the university's Keble College in 2015, very early 2015. He then returned to Cape Town, where he became a founder member of Rhodes Must Fall.
Hmm.
That's what they call their movement, Rhodes Must Fall. Presumably, while attending Oxford, he noticed that Rhodes' statue is stuck overlooking the entrance to Oriel College at Oxford. Now, the clock moves forward to 9 March of 2015 and picture number 5. And all of these pictures you'll find on the internet. You just have to want to know the thread that's being weaved here, or woven here. Next, what we see in figure 5 is a guy called Chumane Mahwele. And what he's doing is he's throwing human excrement at the Rhodes statue at UCT. Now, let it be known that I detest with every fiber in my body the human creature called Cecil John Rhodes. But never, under any circumstances, will any person of my culture do what you see there. Ever. Not ever. Nor will we take the statue down. We are more likely to take our kids there and explain to them, this is the filthy devil that caused 57% of our family to die in these concentration camps. And that is where Germany learned how to do these things.
Because these were the concentration camps. I know we've done this on previous shows, but for folks who haven't heard you before, they put the Dutch in the concentration camps.
Yes, they put my ancestors in the concentration camps. The Afrikaans, or if you wish, Dutch-speaking white people of South Africa are called Afrikaners, just like Americans are called Amerikaners. So if you were living in Belgium, Luxembourg, the Netherlands, Sweden, Norway, Denmark, Germany, or Switzerland, the word for an American is Amerikaner. And so the word for a guy who looks the same but went to Africa instead is Afrikaner. Quite obvious, simple, and straightforward.
That makes sense.
Okay. So, that's what he threw at the statue. So that's figure 5, and you should be seeing it at this time. They also decided to rename a hall at that university to Azania Hall. Azania is the name that the ANC government uses for South Africa. They don't like this thing of calling it South Africa, so they call it Azania. And one of the terrorist groups in South Africa was called AZAPU, the Azanian People's Organization. Azania. Okay, so that was 9 March 2015. Okay? 26 March, same month, 2 weeks later, 2 weeks odd, UC Berkeley Black Students Union expresses support for the University of Cape Town effort, stating that they had asked that Barrows Hall at their university, named for David Prescott Barrows, be renamed to Asata Shakur Hall. Do you know who Asata Shakur is, Arthur?
No.
Yet again, no.
The Black Liberation Army terrorist who fled murder charges in the USA and got asylum in Cuba. Her real name is Joanne Chesimard.
Okay. She sounds lovely. Okay.
That whole mass back there. You have to go back to the Weather Underground kind of era.
Yeah, she was the one who was. Wasn't she indicted for killing a police officer?
Absolutely correct.
Give that boy a cookie. Look at you go.
Okay. So the UCT Black Students Union wanted their building renamed to the Asata Shakur Hall. Meanwhile, a handful of days later, about on 6 April, so what's that, 12 days later, we go to picture number 7. Number 6 is a picture of Joanne Chesimard, otherwise known as Asata Shakur. Maybe you want to put that up. So, I've sent you the picture of this lady that the UC, that the University of that Berkeley wanted to remain the place for. They express their support of the University of Cape Town thing. They think this roads must fall thing is a great idea. They think throwing human excrement at the statue is cool. And, gee, if they could only do that in the United States. And they got a good start by renaming their own place, or at least suggesting it be renamed, to Asada Shakur, whom I've sent you the picture for. Her real name, Joanne Chesimard, originally indicted for killing a policeman in the United States. And she was granted asylum by Fidel Castro. She's still there. And she is, I think, at this point, she is number one on the FBI's wanted list. So, 6 April, Horse Memorial in Port Elizabeth. That's picture 7. What you're seeing in picture 7, and I don't know if that's up there yet.
Yep, they're all there.
Cue me. I don't know what people are seeing, though. So, the Horse Memorial... It was erected in the early 20th century to honor all the horses that died during this bitter Boer War of 1899 to 1902. And it shows a British soldier with a bucket of water watering a horse. It is a memorial to a horse or to horses that have just so bravely done their job and got killed for it. In a war, I don't understand what can be more neutral than a statue as a memorial to horses. Well, they toppled that. They didn't topple the horse. They toppled the British soldier kneeling to water the horse. Hmm. And that was done by a group of black folks.
And when did that happen?
6 April 2015. Now, what is the significance of the date of 6 April?
We're going to have to make that a cliffhanger, and we'll be right back. Our guest is Dr. Harry Bouillons. We're discussing the similarities between what has happened in South Africa and what is currently taking place in the United States. And I think if you take the time to listen, you will be amazed at the parallels. You can find all that information at wethepeopleradio.us. Well, I was reading a little more about Joanne. She's a frightening figure. It was 1973. I was only 12, so I didn't know a lot about her, but she did a lot of bad things. And oddly enough, she was the godmother of the Tupac Shakur person, the rapper. Didn't he die too?
What's that? I'm sorry, I was studying Rocket Fusion in 73, so...
Phil's looking right at me, but he had no idea what I was saying. It's frightening. All right, sorry, Harry, back to you.
Okay. So, they toppled this horse memorial, taking down particularly this British soldier who was watering a horse. And, let me just handle the small problem here. So...
We always have some challenges there.
They did it on 6 April 2015. And the question was, what is the significance of 6 April 2015?
Yeah.
And the answer is, well, on 6 April 1652 is the day that the Dutch arrived at Cape Town. there was no doubt, just the tip of Africa. So they took a British soldier, rock soldier, down where he's watering a horse because he looks like a Caucasian guy, and the Dutch landed at the Cape in 1652, 6 April, and they're Caucasian. So let's just take down a statue that looks like a white guy. How about we just call it what it is?
Yep.
Okay. Which I will now take a minute out to just tell you that I wanted to throw my seat at the TV the other day, and it was some of the usually good anchors on Fox who were avoiding, like the plague, saying what the truth is, and that is that these folks are toppling statues of white guys. Don't let them try and tell you something else. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't really see what else some of the... What else does Columbus have in common?
Well, they've even taken... They've even pulled down statues of people who were being honored because they were part of the emancipation of the slaves in the South. I mean, they were part of the solution, and they didn't... They actually didn't do anything bad. But, yeah, they were white.
Yeah. So I stick by that little bit that I read you at the beginning, my words from almost 3 years ago. Okay. So we were at picture number 7, where they took away that soldier with a horse. 3 days later, 9 April 2015, University of Cape Town surrenders and the Rhodes statue is removed. Rhodes must fall. Rhodes has fallen. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Very soon after that, somebody sprayed Black Lives Matter on the statue of Confederate hero General Robert E. Lee in Charlottesville, Virginia.
How many days later?
Picture 9.
Right, and how many days later was it?
I don't have the exact date for that one, but it's 2015.
Okay.
The first time they went after Robert E. Lee. Now, much later, in February 2017, the city council voted to tear down the statue, but a judge gave an injunction against that. So I believe it's still standing, under correction. I don't know if that also came down in the last few weeks. I'm not checking every statue as it's going.
No, but the point is that those were like in sequence. They were in the same year and within months of each other.
Now, as to the man who threw rubbish at the statue in Cape Town, we advanced the clock to 1 May 2015. Remember, we're only going from 9 March to 1 May here. In 1 year. Now we're back to this Chumani Makwele guy with a bucket and the excrement. He gave entry to a white female lecturer's office where he pushed her around, proceeded to bang on a desk, shouting and screaming at her, and he is recorded as saying the following: "We must not listen to whites. We do not need their apologies. They have to be removed from this university and they have to be killed."
Huh, well, that's the final solution.
Is that clear enough? I will repeat it one more time, because this is what's headed your direction. You haven't quite got this one yet, but you will have it. We must not listen to whites. We do not need their apologies. Please say this to all these little white girlies that are running around thinking they can absolve themselves from what their grandfathers did, if they just apologize enough to the nearest black guy that they can find.
Right.
Okay? The words were, "We must not listen to whites. We do not need their apologies. They have to be removed from this university and have to be killed." He was suspended on 7 May, 6 days later. At that point, he leaves our picture, having so far, immortalized his image in the heavens with a bucket of what's-his-name and throwing it over a statue that can't fight back. So we know what he is. Okay? He's the kind of savage that we have in Africa. Now, the clock goes forward until November of 2015. 13 November 2015. I don't want to turn this into a screaming quiz all the time, but do you perhaps just so happen to remember what is significant about 13 November 2015?
Bill?
That was the day of the Islamic terrorist attacks in Paris. Remember when some people were hanging by their fingertips from windows and stuff like that? Right. Okay. 2 days later, 15 November 2015, Ntokoza Kwabe, that would be the guy who created this Roads Must Fall business, posts on Facebook that he did not stand with France, and he called for a ban on the French tricolor flag at universities, describing it as a symbol of a state, and then he quotes, that has for years terrorized and continues to terrorize innocent lives in the name of imperialism, colonialism, and other violent barbarities. He then had an interview with the Sunday Times in which he says the French flag is no different from the swastika.
Wow.
Okay.
Obviously a student of history.
Later, he tried to get back in the news. He went to a restaurant and he reduced a white waitress to tears by writing on his bill, instead of giving a tip, he wrote, "We will give tip when you return the land." So people were outraged, including his father. And in the end, there was a crowdsource effort to raise a tip for the young lady, and she was the proud recipient of $15,000 in raised tips.
Good for her.
Okay, so at this point, this Ntokoza guy kind of slowly starts fading from the picture, except for one small problem. He's now considered a hero at Oxford University because on 19 January 2016, the students at Oxford University demand that Rhodes' statue must be removed from Oriel College, where Rhodes had studied, the university to which he had given a lot of money, and a university that's receiving a lot of money from other generous donors. And Ntokoza Kwabe is involved in that. So if you want to see the relevant picture that I have for that, it's number 10.
All right. And with that, we have burned the first hour, believe it or not. Hard to imagine. I hope that people will go in and look at these pictures, whether you can, if you're listening on the radio now, just, you know, or go in later. But it is at wethepeopleradio.us. And we have another hour with our guest, Dr. Harry Bouillon's coming right up. Good afternoon. You are joining We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. Pape Machinery can get you pretty much anything you want. John Deere products, Honda power products, not
generators the, for that. Hot summer,
not the motorcycles.
PG&E.
Yeah, the
PG&E shuts off your power.
That's right, and that's coming. They have a full line of the Honda generators on the floor and ready to go. Also, they're a newly assigned steel products dealer. So if you want to do some landscaping, get in there and see them. They have everything from chainsaws to weed whackers. So go in and see them. They're at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, just off I-5. Or you can give them a call at 226-9226 or get them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Lots of choices.
Lots of choices.
You go there, call them, look them up online. But then ultimately you have to go there to pick the stuff up, so you might as well just go there.
That's right. Just go by. Yeah.
Just go there. All right. So I should back up. You can find everything about our show, 10 years of archives that are free for you to listen to, where our salutes to capitalism have been taken out. We commonly call those commercials. And so, you know, in about an hour and 40 minutes, you can learn a whole lot. You can find that at wethepeopleradio.us. You can also catch us Tuesday nights on channel 23.7 on the America Uncensored Network here in Redding, California. And Robert has been feverishly trying to get our guest, Dr. Harry Bouyans, up on Skype so that we would have video for those folks so they wouldn't have to just watch Bill and I be knuckleheads and sit here and listen. Not very tantalizing, but the material is amazing. I hope that you will forward this to your friends. These are the topics that we cover are things that require time. You have to get in depth and you have to spend some time. Otherwise, these can't be done in like 3 minutes. And we all know that what's going on in the media right now, radio and TV really is very short, burst interviews that are very superficial and don't really get into anything.
Maybe 30 seconds and you got the whole story.
Yeah, which we all know is not workable. So we've done quite a few shows on South Africa and the parallels to what's going on in the United States historically, all the way back from the beginning. So, you know, they fought the British just like we did. And if we would have lost to the British, might have looked like South Africa. Our guest, Dr. Harry Bouyans, has done a wonderful job of chronicling all that in his wonderful book, Amabulu. And that is on our website, on the page for July the 5th, 2020. Thought it was fitting for an Independence Day program to talk about some of the things that are going on that basically threaten our independence. And I know a lot of people are worried. They're not really sure if they should be worried, but they are worried. Is there anything they can do? What are they looking at? Will this stop? Does it keep going? Is this the 60s over again? I mean, I think everybody's kind of up in the air with this whole thing. I think that Dr. Bouyans's information will kind of maybe set your feet on a course. We have a lot of pictures that we're referring to today. There are 13 of them. They are on the website for you at the bottom of the July 5th page, and they're numbered. And as he's giving us the information about them, I'm captioning them in time. But I hope you'll go look, because the roots of this whole Black Lives Matter thing and the toppling of statues and all that started in South Africa. Big shock. And so we'll continue on with that story. And I believe we are up to...
I think we're on number 10.
Oh, picture 10. And that's where it really gets, like, you could be looking at here. I mean, you could be looking at our streets here lately. So
I just want to add that I don't think as good a school as Oxford is, apparently they don't have a spelling department, because the...
Yeah, the sign. Yeah, decolonized. They had a little problem with that.
Yeah.
They do have a problem.
There was a problem.
Far be it from me, as the Dutch-derived guy from the bush in Africa, but colonialization, you know, there's one L there where they have two, if that's what you're referring to.
No, it's good. Oh, did we shut him off?
Uh-oh.
Oh, good. We moved you onto Skype, so now you sound totally different. But you sound louder, so that's wonderful.
So hopefully the sound is better, but unfortunately, when we got the sound to work, the system refused to accept my high-definition camera, so now we're stuck with this grainy-looking thing.
Oh. Well, the radio people will never know.
So the last thing I mentioned was about demanding that the statue be removed from Oriel College. And I said that same Ntokoza Kwabe guy was involved, and I asked for picture number 10. Can you just confirm for me what you have as picture number 10 there at the moment?
We have the Black Lives Matter protest guys, a whole sea of people wearing masks and carrying signs.
Ah, so that's number 10. Do you notice a young white girl? I'm not sure whether she's wearing a mask or not, but she's holding a sign with a word that you don't know.
Yes, I did notice that. What is that?
That word is pronounced futsek, but it is used in the following fashion. You look at a dog and you tell it futsek. And it works. I tried it in New York, in Westchester County, not far from the Clintons' place. And the dog ran. So it is the standard thing that everybody uses in South Africa to tell a dog to get lost. And I will get a big dog to run away by just telling him, footsack.
And it's spelled V-O-E-T-S-E-K, but it's pronounced like your feet, like footsack?
Yes, because the V in Afrikaans is pronounced as an F.
Oh, okay.
So, footsack. And double O in English is O-E in Afrikaans. So it is footsack. Footsack.
Okay. And then they put their the guy that everybody loves to hate, including all of us, Cecil Rhodes, on the...
Yes. Mm-hmm. So footsack Rhodes, treated like a dog. Whoever that is knows South Africa. So there are South Africans in the street at Oxford yelling Footsack Rhodes while studying at the place that he helped to, you know, carry the upkeep of. And some of them, including the guy who created the Rhodes Must Fall effort, has a Rhodes scholarship. Okay. So, if you think you can reason with these people, forget it. If you think you can be nice with these people, forget it.
Well, we've heard that same thing from several commentators that you can go along with them for the moment, but eventually they'll come back around and you will be the target. And we've seen that several times already. One in particular was the mayor of Seattle, I believe.
Which one? The one that thought they were going to have the Summer of Love while they were burning her town down?
Yeah, she was going to have
there
the Summer of Love.
A lot of dumb mayors.
Yeah, and they loved her for that. And then they turned right around and went after her own home.
Oh, yeah, and that was also, I think, Washington, D.C.,
yeah, they did the same thing in Washington. Yeah, so you're right that you can't reason.
There's no buying your way out of it.
When are folks going to understand that the methodology is to keep probing? The first thing, if you go read up about, let's say, the Comintern or the entire communist operation, the little book for how do you proceed, it is push the limits all the time. Never stop pushing. Never stop probing. Push all the time. If somebody folds, go over and push at the next one. Okay? And anyone who thinks that this is going to go away by being nice is an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, all of that picture that you see there is actually from this week. But in 19 January 2016, they were already in the streets at Oxford. On 29 August 2017, sorry, wait. 14 August 2017. 14 August 2017. The Confederate statue was pulled down in Durham, North Carolina, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go check the date. So that's picture number 11.
All right, Harry, before we move on, let's take a really quick break. This first one always comes at us kind of quick. We will be right back with our guest, Dr. Harry Bouillons. I hope you join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We have some terrific pictures that will go along with the program today. I think will give you a quite an education. Be right back.
Yeah.
We're experimenting with music, Skype. You have no idea how much stuff's going on. You really should tune in to the American Uncensored Network and watch the television version. Too bad we don't have cameras turned around so we can see what Ashley and Robert are doing running around like chickens with their heads cut off in there. Very exciting day.
There would be some interesting faces from in here.
Probably have to mute it, too, a little bit. Do, like, the little exclamation points in front of your mouth. Yeah, there's a lot going on today.
Harry, on picture number 11, tell me again
who
that
was. Yeah, they look like a cheerful group.
Durham. Well, Durham, as you guys would say.
Okay.
Durham?
China. That was a bunch of students. I think it was the first occasion in the U.S. that a statue came down.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering if it was on federal property, because otherwise then they could be posing for their prison picture. But,
but this was back. This was when, approximately?
That was 14 August 2017, according to my notes.
Okay.
Just a while back. This was that first run they made on the statue toppling.
So the guys that are running these people were still exploiting the Trayvon Martin and the Ferguson experience.
Ferguson,
they
the
were
gentle
still
giant.
Feeding off that, you know?
Yeah. And Michael,
so
Michael
that
Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Eventually petered out, yeah, with the arms that never went in the air. The stuff I notice. There's a picture that I did not send you, but it was going to be a quiz, and it shows guys looking like soldiers on vehicles, armored vehicles with V-shaped hulls. You see a lot of smoke and stuff. And, of course, that's South Africa 1986, except that it's not. It's Ferguson. And I've talked to you before about what happened in Ferguson looked to me just like what we experienced in 1986.
And this is 12? Is Ferguson?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So I've lost track of what number 12 shows, but I wanted to get to another point first.
Sure, no problem.
So after that Durham, North Carolina thing got pulled down, I wrote my article on 29 August 2017, and it's worth repeating what I wrote then, and it's in the article that you link on your website. I wrote there, "Today they will tear down Robert E. Lee, perhaps tomorrow Thomas Jefferson, next week Abraham Lincoln, and then George Washington, and then every statue of anyone who looks Caucasian, just as in South Africa. Welcome to America Must Fall." And then I take you back to where we started today, and my question is, welcome to South Africa. Are you enjoying it yet?
Yeah, because every one of those...
It's scary and it's icky.
Every one of those statues you just mentioned is under attack right now. I know the ones that are on federal property, they're having to put fences around them and put guards on them, and just to keep them from tearing them down. Because, well, just today, I see they tore down another... Christopher Columbus statue.
That was yesterday already. They tore Columbus down and threw the statue in a pool, I think.
Yeah, they threw it in the river or something, yeah.
But that was Baltimore. I mean, you kind of expect something's going to go wrong in Baltimore. It's destined to.
Yeah.
Right? Fraught with problems, I believe, is the term we're looking for.
Do you want me to actually give you the numbers of the avenues in New York where it's going to happen?
Oh,
I'm sorry. It's the reality of the United States. Don't forget, I lived there.
Mm-hmm. It's got to be, and I think people are realizing that maybe this isn't going to blow over like before, and that it has a much more revolutionary, it's a much more well-funded, well-coordinated.
Oh, it's very well-funded right now. I mean, they even have nationally funded television ads right now for their movement.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so, you know, obviously they have deep pockets that are funding all of this.
It's interesting, though.
It wouldn't be Georgi Schwartz, would it? Soros.
Soros,
there you go.
Our friend George Soros.
Yeah.
Well, that, and we learned, and I guess I should mention that next week we're going to have Dr. Lyle Rapacki and Claire Lopez back on to kind of tie up what we were speaking about with the funding and the forces behind all of this, because you see the flag. I never noticed it before, but after they said that, I see it everywhere. It's the flag with its three horizontal stripes, red on the bottom, green in the middle, black on the top. And they have them at all these protests. And it did kind of cross my mind early on. I thought, how'd they already get a flag? That's kind of weird. Takes kind of, who invented it? Do they have a vote? I mean, how do a bunch of crazy people lighting things on fire have a flag? So
do they have yellow, black, and green in there?
Well, they've got the green. See, it's red on the bottom, green in the middle, black on the top. So the red obviously is the communists, and the black is your Black Lives Matter, your Antifa, all that. But the green stripe was the one that kind of had me going, because I figured maybe that was like the wacko environmental guys. No, that would be the Muslim Brotherhood and Hezbollah and all those folks who have joined together with the communists. Normally they don't like each other, but, you know, if they're going to overthrow America, hey, we might as well all be friends. So,
well, if you have black, green, and yellow, you've got the ANC flag of South.
I know, and that kind of freaked me out too. Yeah, because that's the African National Congress?
Congress.
Yes. Yes.
Yep. On
Mandela's operation, the guy that's treated as a saint in your country while he sends his guys to bomb my mother.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And throw boiling oil on them and everything else. And for the people who don't know that's happening, we've got literally 11 episodes of this show under the tab of South Africa, where Dr. Bouillons has laid this out in really great detail. So if you still think Mandela's a great guy, I would encourage you to go back and look at that, because you've missed a large chunk of history that is currently at our door.
Now, I sent you two more pictures, and you have the advantage of me, because I don't know what numbers 12 and 13 show.
Well, let's see. We've got 12 is the roads must fall on cardboard, and then the Black Lives Matter sign, and then the we cannot understand, but we must stand.
Yeah. So what I wanted you to see is the fact that Black Lives Matter and Roads Must Fall are run by the same crowd. Do you see that?
Yeah. Yep. And where is this picture?
London. Well, Oxford.
Oh, this is at Oxford.
This is Oxford.
Huh. Wow.
Okay. So do not attempt even to tell me these things are not wired together. Do not attempt to tell me that they don't beget one another.
Right.
It's the same people, guys. Okay.
Well, and it just shows that the Black Lives Matter movement is not an isolated movement to the United States.
Yeah, sure. It didn't just show up, and it isn't just about. And here we have people donating large sums of money, painting it all over the streets. I think they're painting it all over the basketball courts.
Because it's about George Floyd.
Yeah, nice try.
So here's the peculiar thing for me from where I sit. You cannot get a more anti-colonialist country than the United States. I mean, it's built into the national DNA. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
America has done some profoundly stupid things because it is such an anti-colonialism country. I'll give you an example. The Suez Crisis in, 1956? Sorry to tell you, but the U.S. was on the wrong horse in that case. Why? Because it saw Britain and France getting together to help the Israelis to stop Nasser in Egypt. And the sort of knee-jerk reaction of the United States was, those are colonialists trying to do their colonial thing again. That's not what it was about at all. But that's the U.S. It is hyper anti-colonial. It is founded on that idea. That's what you fought a war of independence about. Okay? It's in your DNA as a nation. So how is it How is it that the folks now finding fault with everything that is the America from 1619 to today, because they're finding fault with all of it and everybody who built it, how is that, which is so anti-colonialist, how is that being tarred and feathered at the same time by the same people as who are going after the arch-colonialist who ever lived, Rhodes? How are you in the same bucket with him?
Yeah.
Somebody's going to have to explain that to me, because these young people have their lines crossed, and what needs to be researched here is what is going on in people's minds when they throw all that together? Because the only thing I can find is a white face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true, because, but see, everything, well, like Christopher Columbus, I mean, they took down Father Junipero Serra because mm-hmm. he was a missionary, and that was bad. I don't know, it just seems like everything is bad. There was a clip on when the president was up there in Mount Rushmore, and they had this guy on the news, and it was from the Lakota Sioux tribe, I think, or the Lakota tribe. I guess I'm yeah. a little weak on the connection there.
But they live there.
Yeah, he was saying that the president wasn't allowed to go there because he was trespassing on their land, and he needed to give it back to them immediately.
No. What's up?
Yeah.
I was like, okay, yeah. that'll work. Yeah, I don't know. We've entered a very strange place.
You're in the place where I have lived mm-hmm. all my life. When I have spoken to you guys over the past several years, it is from this bucket of hell that I spoke to you. This is what I've lived. This is what was done to us. And the Western world cheered it on.
Yeah, the place that makes
and
no
now,
sense.
Now the U.S. is on the receiving end of that which it perpetrated on us. I'm sorry if I sound like,
No, you know, and Harry, hold that thought, because when we come back, I would really like you to explain that, because for the people who really don't know, I mean, obviously we can't do the whole history again in 2 seconds, but the part where everybody is cheering your demise, and now we're in the same spot, I'd like you to expand that a little bit, because I think that's really important for people to understand, and it may cause folks to go back and look at what has happened to South Africa so they can look at our future at the same time. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People Radio, and you can find us online at wethepeopleradio.us.
Maybe did a bad, bad thing. Maybe did a bad, bad thing. Baby did a bad, bad thing. Baby did a bad, bad thing. You ever loved someone so much you thought your little heart was gonna break in two?
Harry, you're going to tell us there isn't one, too, aren't you?
What is that?
Need a hero.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah, that's bad.
It is.
So from the perspective of South Africa, when things really started to go, I mean, I realize it was a long period of time, but when the really heavy anti-white sentiment started, the rest of the world was thinking that you guys had enslaved these people, stolen their land, and it was about time they got rid of you guys, I think.
Yeah, that was
in a nutshell.
That was the America point of view, yeah.
Which was totally false, because in South Africa, blacks were not enslaved. They were not there when you got there.
I cannot possibly repeat all of that. That's 10 shows worth.
I know.
But, I will tell you this. Here's how I experienced it. I was, first of all, let's put the record perfectly straight here. there was a policy called apartheid in South Africa. And more than that, it was, it's not so much that it was evil, it was dumb. And sometimes I think stupidity is the true evil. There's no ways it was going to work. And there's no way you're going to basically keep all these people happy by a policy that looked like that. But in 1979, I appeared as a bright-eyed and bushy-tailed young postdoc in New York, and you know, the day I arrived is when the mafia boss got shot. It was all over the news, so you can imagine my impression as I arrived in New York. It really is the way the movies say, you know, is the mafia being killed in the street and restaurant, all that kind of stuff. But I learned to keep an open mind, listen, learn, etc., etc. And I soon realized that the U.S. is struggling with a really poisonous mix that it has to sort out. The one aspect that, yes, there was a history of actual slavery, but there's also a long history of a sense of guilt. These two things don't mix well. They create a problem. And I thought people were doing their level best to get beyond all of this and make it an equitable society. I dealt with quite a few black Americans. I got on real well with them. They were closer to my way of talking and doing things than what the white Americans were, in my opinion. Anyway, but at the end of a year, we were homesick. We wanted the blue skies of South Africa. New York is not exactly famous for blue sky.
It's only not really.
To get a blue sky. So, you know, we used to be able to see the horizon, and seeing the horizon is important for us. And in New York, you can never see the horizon. So we wanted to go back, and at the time, there was a new guy running the country. His name was P.W. Botha, and he was rapidly removing all of these really nasty laws. He was leaving some of the stuff intact, like who could vote and who couldn't in the central government. Everybody could vote. It's just who could vote in the central government. And but the really malicious stuff, he was getting rid of. And it looked like, okay, right, things are coming right. Excellent. So we went back, and that's when I discovered that it doesn't suit a communist organization that things should improve. Because if things really improve and it has to be acknowledged, then they lose the impetus for their entire effort. So in the 1980s, while things were being improved for black people in South Africa, and I was quite hopeful at the beginning, suddenly the whole world switched onto us and started making insane demands. I have a book here by the guy who was then the deputy deputy secretary of state for Africa, Chester Crocker. And he didn't like Afrikaners like me. He made that quite clear. But even he said, this is crazy. It seems like both parties in America are trying to outdo each other in kicking South Africa around. And it would actually be Senator Lugar, who's a Republican. He drove the effort at basically tearing up South Africa's loans, tearing up its credit card, all of that kind of stuff. He is the man who destroyed South Africa's economy. And all of this was done to a crescendo of your media yelling and screaming abuse at us. It was just awful. While I could move around the U.S. quite happily as a visitor in 1979, when apartheid was still bad, in 1986, when there was almost none of it left, I couldn't get through a front door of a place. High-tech companies would refuse to receive me. They would have me sit in the reception area and come out to talk to me and then shoo me out the door. Yeah, stuff like that. I was clearly a representative of an enemy state. And what was done to us back then is what you're experiencing now. It doesn't matter how hard you try to do the right thing. Something else will be found. You will be attacked. You right. will be sledgehammered. You will be driven into the ground. You will be assailed in every dimension of human endeavor. And if any of the black people dared to stand up and defend, they were killed. They were tortured to death. They had tires put around their bodies, soaked in gasoline and lit up. All you need right now is for some black woman in America to stand in a stage and yell, with our matches and our necklaces, we will liberate this country. That's all you need at this point. And that was Winnie Mandela.
Wow.
And she was hailed in the United States as the mother of the nation.
Someone who is advocating that you put flaming tires around people until they're
yes.
burning them
so
to death.
There has always been a media disconnect in the United States. We were far away, right? We're like 10,000 sure. miles away. You can say anything about the white South Africans. There's nothing they can say back to defend themselves. They're too far away. They're not hearing what's being done to them. They don't understand that they're being dragged through the toilet. They're too far away to comprehend that they are being destroyed as a nation. They're just trying to go about their lives as ordinary, decent folks. But that's not going to happen. That's not acceptable. They have to be painted to be pigs, and everything about them will be attacked. Everything about them will be sullied. Okay, and you are experiencing the first little dribbles of that.
Well, when saying all lives matter is considered racist, you know we've entered the labyrinth of insanity. You know, how do you avoid that?
So, you know, for me there, I went back to South Africa to see the country turned into a nightmare. My own mother's apartment building was bombed twice. The second time they almost got her. The first time they killed some other women and children. And the guy who placed the bomb said he placed it there because he knew there were a lot of white people.
But that's not racism.
That's not racism. Or as one of the ANC members said, black people cannot be racists. And I am waiting. I'm going to take a clock and hold it up in front of you if I can find one now and tell you. I'm going to keep this clock here and wait for the moment that the American black person says that.
I think it's kind of already happening. You have people like Candace Owens and Jesse Lee Peterson and all sorts of, Thomas Sowell. You've got all sorts of black Americans who have spoken out against this. And even Morgan Freeman, who I don't really like all that much after I heard he didn't feel the need to keep his dogs in. And when they ran out and got killed in the street, it was just because they were dumb. So he just got a new one. It's like, okay, I don't like you anymore. I've seen interviews, old ones and current ones, where he has said the way you get rid of racism is you stop talking about it instead of highlighting it more. And there have been many, many people who've spoken out, and yet they are really demonized. That's truly the bottom rung of the ladder, are those folks.
Yeah. So, you know, from where I sit, like I said at the beginning, I'm not clairvoyant. I can promise you I have no particular other powers. And I'm not hugely intelligent. My wife is more clever than I am, more intelligent. I can prove it. I mean, as I always joke with you,
you're an aerospace physicist, so if you're not intelligent, we have no hope.
I competed against her at university. I always lost, and so I did the only honorable thing left to a guy, and that is I took out the enemy by marrying her.
Oh, on that note, we have to take a really quick break. We'll be back with our guest, Dr. Harry Booyans.
Yeah, that's our sense of humor down there.
Never. I know, and we like it because it makes sense for us. We're a good venue for you. We all speak the same lingo. We'll be right back. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Oops.
I didn't want to hear that song anyway.
Yeah, darn them.
Huh.
We're doing some experimenting. Needless to say, that experiment failed.
You're on your own dime. Come on.
Bill's over there with nothing. Bill's got his giant ice drink and a tablet. That's it. We need to give Bill more jobs. I'm wearing two headsets and Ash is in there running around.
Not messing stuff up. Come on. So Harry, what do we
look for next?
Yeah, what's coming next? I know.
Let's do the spoiler alert.
You were spot on in 2017 on what was coming down the pike, and it's now happening. What can we expect? I know a lot of this is happening because it's an election year, and politics plays a huge part in a lot of this. But what do you see?
Yeah. You know, one has to get past 3 November first, because the election in the U.S. so completely warps the natural progression of life.
Oh, it does.
It's difficult to plot it. But there is one way in which this picture is different for you guys than for what we lived. You see, the South Africa's white population is about a tenth of that of Canada, and Canada's is about a tenth of that of the United States. And therefore, when the United States takes a hand in things and it sneezes, everybody else gets pneumonia. So if the U.S. tears up your credit card, you're sunk.
Mm.
Now, and that's the thing that completely broke South Africa. It wasn't Russia that broke us. We chased the Russians out of Africa. Okay? It was the United States who broke South Africa. And like I said, you know, the Republicans can't wash their hands of it. They had a hand in it. In fact, they led it. They actively did that. But now, so the point I'm trying to make to you is, Where the paths diverge to some degree is in the fact that there is no other huge, big entity that can lean on you. There isn't a country that has a 10 times greater population other than China, and there's no way they can influence you that way. But there isn't a United States that has 100 times your population and that can tear up your credit card.
Yeah.
So the path will look different from here on. But I can tell you this. If you don't understand that you are in a fight for your existence, I don't know how... What more I can tell you? You know, it's you need to understand that these people will stop. They will stop at nothing. And it's exacerbated at the moment by the Democratic Party, who is so desperate to get rid of Trump that, quite frankly, they will cause the Third World War to get rid of him. They will drive Russia to the point of going to DEFCON 1, you know, whatever it is, if they can just somehow nail him. They have lost all sense of proportion. They have lost all sense of justice. They've completely corrupted the FBI to the point where I don't think a sensible, decent human being can trust the FBI anymore. It's terrible what they've done. The problem is, there isn't somebody who can come in and fix this for the U.S. It's going to have to wake up, understand what it is it is up against here, and understand that its own youth is being turned against it.
Yeah, and
you
that's
need
really
to get
clear.
Your kids back, particularly these little girls who still haven't grown up. You know, Aaron, you got to forgive me if I'm going to get rather brutal on this subject.
No, it's okay. I usually go there first. And the boys act like little girls now, too, so let's just not put too fine a point on it.
The point is this. As soon as there is a child in your life, you start getting some degree of perspective. You start worrying about the safety of the child. You start worrying about a future that's not just yours. There's all kinds of things that change, not just in women, but also in men. Suddenly, there is something greater than you that you are responsible for. And that's true everywhere. And at the moment, there are just too many young women running around, you know, in political causes with placards, and they are worse than the guys.
Yeah.
I want the young women roped in first. I'm not suggesting they get sent to re-education camps, but can I suggest that their fathers go and get them, take them home, and hold them while their mothers slap them in the face?
There you go. Let's get serious about this. Well, for heaven's sakes, how do they have time? I mean, I look at this. I look at them, and who's got... I don't have the money or the time to run around and invent a fake country that encompasses three blocks. Not that I want to, but I mean, I don't have the money or the time to do that. So, you know, somebody's got to be holding the purse strings, and I'm guessing in large part it's the parents.
You need to understand that the young males are performing for the young females. The young females are really calling the shots, and somebody's paying them from behind. Now, someone's going to have to get hurt, and you cannot allow those kinds of, what do they call it, the chairs or whatever, and the chop. And,
yeah, which day?
Okay, it depends on what day you're looking at it.
Yeah.
I think the important thing to understand is that the people there have to be humiliated. I'll say that again. They have to be humiliated.
Yeah, because taking them porta potties and cleaning up their mess for them, I think, you know, it's funny. Somebody told me really early on in this, and I thought, you know, that's a great encapsulation of it. This is what happens when everybody gets a trophy for 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, we get this. And, you know, before we run out of time here in like 2 minutes, you had also sent me in an email about someone that you were talking to who understood that this was all very, very off track, but had such a hatred of the president that they could hardly be rational.
Oh, yeah, several people. I mean, I had a situation. I went to the A&W, man, of all innocent places, and I walked past this lady. I'd spoken to her before when she had some friends, and she's in her 60s somewhere. And she made some comment about President Trump. And I just said, oh, gee, ma'am, I don't know, you know. Those are my words. Gee, ma'am, I don't know, you know. And her eyes went like saucers, and she stood up and she said, "Oh, Lord, don't tell me you're one of those people who support him. I'm getting out of here. I cannot stand conflict. I cannot stand conflict. I got to get out of here."
In the grocery store?
The A&W.
In the A&W fast food restaurant.
Oh, A&W. So, sorry, I was thinking A&B, the grocery store.
No. And she's, you know, you're talking about a lady in her 60s, and yeah. She's behaving like a snowflake.
Wow. Okay.
I haven't even started an argument yet, and she's running away. And the best friend of my life, he's a Democrat, he's a U.S. Democrat, and it's he who instilled the love of the United States in me. It's he who caused me to have respect for the preamble. And, you know, that one that Biden struggles with so much.
And all that.
Seems like the guy from the bush in Africa has to come and tell him about, you know. Yeah. Let me not go there. So, he also started going like that. And I just told him, his name's George. And I said, "George, for God's sake, you know, what is it? What is so evil about this guy? He lies. He lies all the time. He lies." And I'm listening and I'm listening and I can't figure out where the lies are. I hear exaggerations. I hear self-promotion. I hear bombast. I hear all kinds of things. But
you're in New York?
Where are the lies? And, you know, I spent time in New York, as did my friend George. That's New York.
It too. Is New York.
It's absolutely New York.
Yeah.
I tried to drive there. And I tried to do so without leaning on the horn of my car, and I realized that doesn't work. So the moment I learned to be loud and aggressive, everything started working.
It all took shape. Oh, my gosh, Harry, we are flat out of time. And I can't even believe it again, yet again.
Is this where I apologize for my haircut at the moment? I call it the Boris.
No, God love you. All right. Well, I guess you can't hear our Only in America song, but just pretend it's playing. And happy Independence Day to the folks in the U.S. And for everybody else listening, better hope we don't blow this deal or you're next. Thanks for being with us.